Sports Beat Extra with Odrin Johnson on Beat.
All eyes in Carlow will be on Pat Bennett and the senior hurlers come next Saturday at 3:15 as the Scallionators line out against local rivals Laois in this year's Joe McDonagh Cup final. Despite only having won the competition once in 2019, this year will mark Laois's third time in a row reaching the decider, where they fell to defeat against Offaly and Kildare in recent years. On the other hand, Carlow were champions of this competition back in 2023 and returned to Croke Park after a successful round campaign. I caught up with manager Pat Bennett ahead of the final.
Pat, firstly, thanks a million for joining me. You're staring down the barrel of a Joe McDonagh Cup final now. I suppose, as you were mentioned just before the interview, a lot more eyes on you this time around than, say, previous years. You know, how are you feeling coming up to such a monumental competition?
Yeah, I think, like everybody, you know, we've got injuries that we've picked up and we're trying to clear them up. And you're trying to get, you know, when you do get to a final, you want to have everybody and you want your whole panel. And at the minute, we've got maybe four or five, you know, niggles, and we've got a couple of ones that are touch and go, and we have to try and get all them, and we're working hard on them to get them back and that they'll be ready for, you know, Saturday week.
It's a great accomplishment, though, in the first year for yourself under the helm with Carlo. Like, you know, was this where you kind of envisaged being? Was this always the end goal at the beginning of that first year to get Carlo to this point?
Yeah, I mean, they were very unlucky last year, to be fair to Tom. He had a lot of work done, and they were very unlucky to a last-minute goal that put him out on a score difference by a point to be in the final. So, you know, the work had been done. It was just at the start, you know, I came in very late. I came in and I didn't have a panel. Like, I don't think, we actually didn't have our full panel until the London game. That was the first time we had our full panel. So, you know, I'm trying to learn, they're trying to learn, you know, and they're trying to get to know me. And it just took a little bit of time in the league. We gave lots and lots of game time to young guys in the league. You know, I've got three guys that are under 20 again next year. And they all played league and they all played Joe Mack. So, you know, that's good for them and that's good for Carlo going forward because, you know, they know what it's like and they're getting a taste of what it's like and they know the levels they have to come to.
I suppose for yourself, coming into this competition, was it that opening game against Laois? That was a real statement victory for yourselves, obviously, after maybe a tumultuous sort of league campaign where it was going right down to the wire. Like, were you kind of, I suppose, was that a vital game for you, do you think, in the longer term ambition of this county for this year, like kind of looking at it now?
Well, everybody knows the Joe Mack. We've only got two home games and we three away. So we knew we had to win our home games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that would have given us a chance. But the Laois one came and, you know, we were ready for it. We had to be because it was our home game. And, like, if we lost that, we were going to Westmeath the following week under pressure. But, you know, it's all about winning at that stage, and they won. And, you know, we made hard work of it. You know, we were level 15 minutes, 20 minutes gone in the second half, we were level. You know, so it was a tough game, but we got over the line, we got the 2 points, and then the next 2 points, and then it kind of snowballed from there. Went to Ballycran, had a really tough game up there. But, you know, when you go away, I think when you go away in the Joe Mack, you go away even in the Leinster Championship or the Munster Championship, I think it's worth about 5 or 6 points to you. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody wants to go, say, to Cusick Park to play Clare. Nobody wants to go to Welsh Park to play Waterford. You don't want to go to Nolan Park to play Kilkenny. You know, Wexford Park for Wexford. You know, it's worth 5 or 6 points. You have to be 5 or 6 points better to beat them down there. Mm-hmm. So we knew that we three away and it was going to be very tough, so we had to win our home games. And in fairness to the lads, you know, we were ready on the first day and we got our win and it kind of snowballed from there then.
I look back on, I suppose, the campaign so far and I think about that Down victory and how monumental that was, in the sense that coming up to that game you were both unbeaten and it was kind of a case that it could have lost there. Do you think in your own mind kind of either made or break that campaign for you now?
Yeah, 100%. I think all the games, when you look at it, like we played Laois first day out, okay, we were both unbeaten and we beat them. Then we went to Westmeath and they were unbeaten, we were unbeaten and we beat them. And then we had to go to Down where they were top, we were unbeaten, they were unbeaten and we had to go beat them. So, you know, there was nothing easy in any of the three matches. But for me, most satisfying one was probably the Down one because I know how hard it is to go to Ballycran. Mm-hmm. And anybody that has been in Ballycran knows how hard it is to go and win there. And, like, to be against a Hurricane and to go from 10 points up to 3 points down with 8 minutes to go and to win it by 3, you know, it showed some character with these lads. And, you know, that's what they have. They have really, really good character. And, you know, their fitness levels have gone really high, fairness to Craig and Kevin. You know, they have their levels at a really high. And we had this talk at the start of the year. I remember talking to Craig in December when we wanted them fit and when we wanted them ready. And you know, he kept saying to me, especially through the league when we weren't winning some games, you know, he kept saying to me, you did tell me we wanted him fit for this time, this time, this time. So I said, yeah, you're the boss there, so we'll go with that. And he has him, like, we're finishing strong every 50, the last 15 minutes of every game, even the game against Antrim, we finished strong. You know, we're finishing stronger, and that's a really good sign for the lads, you know.
I want to take you back to when you were appointed. You know, for yourself, what was it about Carlow that interested you in the challenge of it itself?
Look, we've played against Carlow a good few times, and I know what these Carlow lads are like. You know, I've been hearing, because a lot of them had gone to college in Carlow, IT and WIT, so I would have known them from the Waterford boys, and I would know a lot of them, you know. And everybody said, when you're with Carlow, they will give you everything. And that's the only team I want. I want a team that will give everything. Will we get beaten? Of course we would. You know, we'll win some, we'll lose some. I told them that at the start of the year. But what I wanted was that we were going to fight every single day. We were going to fight. And, like, that was proven in spades above in Ballycran. And, you know, in other games, take the Leash game. When Leash came back, we were 7 up at halftime, and they came back and levelled within 10 minutes. And we still pushed on again, you know. So that was probably the first thing, with Carlow, is that I knew the lads that were there were going to give it everything. And that's what you want as a manager, as a coach. What you want is that the lads will give it everything. If it's not good enough, it's not good enough on the day, and that happens. But you know, when you're going in and you're giving everything, they're giving everything as well, and that's what they're doing.
Do you think, I suppose you can think back to the whole campaign of Carlow Rising a couple of years back, like, do you think we're kind of getting to the beginning of sort of something similar to that again, obviously with the success of the footballers in Division 4 and yourselves now in the Joe McDonagh Cup final?
Yeah, it's very hard. You know, you're trying to bridge the gap, and the gaps are big, you know. I mean, I got slated, I think, in one of the, after the Kildare game, I think I got slated because I was talking about, you know, Croke Park not giving us enough. And, you know, they're still not giving us enough. And you saw what happened Kildare, they're going straight back down again. So, like, they're not learning anything by going up for a year. They're not, like, and they should be given 3 years up there to see, you know, okay, because the first year you get used to it, the next year and the next year, and you're going to get better by playing these teams. By playing the better teams, you're going to get better, and you're going to bring them up. And that's what I was kind of alluding to back during the league, that when Kildare beat us above in Kildare, like, we played 7 backs that day, and only one of them had ever played Joe Mack, you know. So that'll tell you, like, what we were trying out that day and what we were trying to do against a team like Kildare, who were, you know, they have made great strides and they are pushing really hard. But to bridge that gap from where Kildare are, Offaly done the same thing. Offaly have bridged the gap, but I think it's more of the likes of Kilkenny have come back to them a bit and they've come forward a bit. But, you know, they have come forward, but it's taken them like 4 years, 5 years. They've got a lot of money pushed in behind them, you know, from the county board and from their supporters club, which is brilliant. That's what's going to bring it to them. And they are automatically are closing the gap. But, you know, as soon as that stops, then will the gap be closed, or will they go straight back down, you know, to a Joe Mack again? You know, that's your bouncy between Joe Mack, Leinster Championship, bouncy Mack. And that to me is not helping hurling. And it's not helping that we've got 6 teams left in the Hurling Championship now. And this is, we're not even to June yet, are we? We're still in May. Yeah. And there are 16 teams left in the football.
Do you, I suppose, look at, say, another way you mentioned that kind of Kilkenny kind of plateauing a little bit and Offaly being able to make those strides this year. Do you think that Offaly will be able to continue that pressure going forward and get better and better before Kilkenny are able to go back to the strength they were at? Or do you see Kilkenny vastly just quickly getting back on track and pushing Offaly back down again?
Kilkenny are a bit like a tip or a cork, you know. They tend to bounce back next year, you know. They have the resources for that. Offaly will have to keep working, like, whatever work Offaly have put in the last 5 years, they have to go another 5 years to get it back up to be able to be competitive with the Dublins and, you know, the Galways and the Kilkennys. To be competitive with them, they have to go another 5 years of what they've done. Now, will they be able to do that and maintain that? I don't know. But that's the effort that Offaly have to put in. And this is where I'm saying that Croke Park have to help. They have to come and help these teams to bridge the gap, because we don't want just 7-8 teams. Like, everybody is saying Cork and Limerick now are way ahead of everybody. And then you've got a next tier of, you know, the Clares, the Tipperary's, the Galways, the Dublins. They're in the next tier. And then you're down again and down again. But eventually, like you're going to have only two and three teams, you know, and that's not good enough for hurling. It's not good enough for the supporters, as far as I'm concerned. Everybody wants to watch hurling. Everybody wants to see games. And like we have, there's 4 weeks now before Clare play again. Like, don't tell me that they can't put in other teams playing to be ready in 4 weeks' time for, you know, for the Clare game, which is a quarter final. To get to a quarter final, they have 3 weeks that they could have played, and amount of teams could be still playing.
Mm-hmm. I suppose, from a county perspective, what do you think needs to be done there to bridge that gap? Because I think traditionally, obviously, with the Joe McDonagh Cup finalists, they've almost been used as a stepping stone for those teams that maybe didn't get the Leinster finals or the Munster finals to kind of just get straight back into the All-Ireland series. Like, what needs to be done there to kind of ensure that those Joe McDonagh Cup teams aren't just being used as sort of fodder for teams to be, like, as Tipperary last year were on the receiving end of that, where they beat a Joe McDonagh Cup finalist and then went on to win the All-Ireland. Like, you know, what needs to be done at a county level, and I suppose from a GAA level, to kind of make sure that the Joe McDonagh Cup finalists aren't treated as that sort of stepping stone?
Look, the counties will do everything impossible that they can do. Right, and you know, take the likes of Carlow. It's a very small county. You know, like I said, six senior teams. You know, we've got, I think we've got 20 guys, if not 19 guys, from two clubs. Do you know, if you do that with all the counties and say, you know, you go to a Limerick or you go to a Cork and you say, okay, lads, you can only pick 20 guys from two clubs, then you can pick from another four clubs. All right, you'll see where they'll be. So in fairness to the likes of Carlow, to the likes of Antrim, the likes of Down, you know, the likes of Westmeath, they're all picking from small pools. They have to be helped. And the only way they're going to be helped is in the schools. You start with the schools and you start with young guys with hurlies all day, every day. You know, I know in Waterford back in when the minors came and that came, like they would have been hurling before school. They'd be hurling at lunchtime. They'd be hurling in the evening. You know, they'd always be hurling. And you know, you've got to have a hurley in your hand from young age. If, like, I be honest, if you're up at 12, 13 now and you haven't been hurling, you're in big bother. Mm-hmm. You know, very few will come through. So you have to be, it's all about the touch. It's all about, you know, hurley in your hand. You see lads going down the street, especially in the rural towns, villages, and they'll all be hurling and they'll have a hurley in their hand and they'll be going. You could say later on, these guys are going to make it. Because they are going to make it. I see Galway have put in a really good effort. Like the likes of the football clubs out in Arranmore, they've got guys coming in from there because they've done the work and they've done the hard work. But if you're not going to be helped by Croke Park, you won't be able to maintain and keep the push on that's needed to bring you up to next levels. It's fine getting to a level, but it's to get you to the next level is a big jump. You know, and it's like the likes of Wexford now are you know, they're in a decline a bit, right? So they have to go and push to get them back up again, you know. And like, are they going to be helped by Croke Park? No, they're not, because be honest, Croke Park don't care of individual counties. Once they're having a hurling games and once they're playing matches, they're happy enough, right? And the Munster Championship is always going to be a money spinner. Leinster Championship is getting to be a good competition now as well, because they're all tight. So they'll be happy out with that. The biggest problem you have is that it's not bringing on hurling. It's just playing matches. And like, to me, if you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, it's Limerick and it could be Tip, like Tip will come again, because you know Tip have the resources and they have to do that. But there's other counties don't. They don't have the pool. Like, I think, I don't know how many clubs now are in Carlow hurling wise. Like, is there, I know there's probably only about 10 max, right? Because most of the intermediate clubs would be coming from senior clubs, it'd be their second team. So you're looking at Cork and they've 250 clubs. Like, if you've 250 clubs and you just take one guy out of it, like, that's 250 hurlers, right? You know, that are top of their club. So you can easily get another team and another team and another team. There's no problem there. Same with Limerick at the minute. But, like, again, Limerick will have to work hard, and Limerick did work hard. Like, Limerick were in trouble, and then all of a sudden, you know, JP helped, and they got their all their squads done. They got everything in. They started down at, you know, 13s, 14s, 15s, and they knew it was going to take them 4 or 5 years to win a minor. But then they won a minor, and then they kept winning. You know, they kept winning minors and kept competing. So it's a lot of work gone into Limerick to keep it to where they are. And if they take the eye off the ball, like Kilkenny took the eye off the ball, they're going to struggle. They're going to have to push again now to throw it in to get them back up again, because they haven't been winning Leinster titles at 20 and minor, where before they were winning them every second year. So I think, you know, it has to come from Croke Park. They have the finances to help. It's not about throwing money at them. It's about doing it right. I know Willie Maher is in now, and he's asking, to me, he's asking a lot of the right questions to a lot of the right people about where they're going to do. But there's no point if Willie Maher comes back with something and it's thrown under the carpet again, like, because, like, in the last 30 years, we haven't improved. You know, it's still the top tier is the top tier, and the top guys are there, like the Kilkennys, the Tips, the Corks, the Limericks, they're there, right? And you will get an Offaly that'll come, but, you know, have Offaly won anything yet? No, they haven't. But, you know, they are coming. But they need to go again and push again to go win a Leinster or win an All-Ireland. And that's going to be their next thing, where how far they can push. But all the other teams are yo-yoing, up and down, right? From Christy Ring, you know, Kerry went down, they'll probably come back straight back up again. Do you know? They are actually back up, they're just playing the final. So they're back up again. You know, that's the yo-yo, but that's not helping. You know, the Wicklows, it's not helping any of those at those counties.
Because I was at an interesting conversation, I suppose, earlier in the year, talking about the fact that, you know, Galway obviously have to be in Leinster to even progress and play competitive hurling at that level. Like, you know, how much do you think them being shoved into Leinster kind of takes away from the fact that it kind of says to the GAA that they can not prioritise creating a good Connacht division for hurling or an Ulster one or whatnot?
That is the big thing, you know. You look at the Munster Championship in football, and it's really at the minute it's Cork and Kerry, and the other teams are all playing. But at least they're playing, it's the Munster Championship, and they're playing and they can strive to get up. In Connacht, like, you have a Mayo really good side that's coming in hurling and doing stuff, you know what I mean? So you need to help them, but they're not helping them, because the easiest thing is Galway, you go into Leinster, you play in Leinster, you're happy, you're the only team that we're worried about. You know, belt away there, and that's fine, you know. And Galway, in fairness to Galway, they have a good football team, they have a good hurling team, they put a lot of work in, and they have a lot of work done in the last couple of years with Michal in the last couple of years as well. He's got a lot of young guys coming. And, you know, that's good. Whether they're winning All-Ireland, you know, that's another thing. You know, they've got to maintain it, and it's hard to win it, because you've got to play all these top matches consistently. And that's, when you've got a new team, it's hard to see, you know, if they can maintain that. But look, it's simple. You've got to get as many teams up as high a level as you can possible. And the easiest thing in the world is you can, instead of having the down to six teams now in the hurling championship, you're down to six. Like, why not make it 12? You know? Why not make it 14? Why not, you know, okay, you're going to get beatings. Kildare got beatings, right? They got beatings this year. But next year they would have learned an awful lot from it. And they'd get less and less and less. And if they were there for the third year, I guarantee you they'd be better still. But instead, they're going straight back down to Joe Mack again. You know what I mean? And that's where the yo-yoing is not helping.
I want to bring back to Joe McDonagh Cup, because we've spoken on a lot there. But the game leading up to this game, the one against Antrim, obviously a much changed side, because you obviously had confirmed your spot in the final at that stage. I don't know if you have a different perspective on this, but mentally, for a team to be going into a final after losing, regardless of obviously a changed side, how do you think that affects them, or does it affect them at all?
No, I don't think it affects them. I think, you know, we have a panel of 35, and I gave 35 fellas, they all played Joe Mack, and I think they deserved that, because we were in a position we could do that. So when we went to Antrim, we made 15 changes, and we brought on the five subs that hadn't played as well. So, like, what was really good about it was we had the 35 up on the day. The lads all got a game in Joe Mack. They all got to play. And as I said to him, you were looking to play, pick to get on the team for Croke Park, or to get on the 26 for Croke Park, or to make the 30 for Croke Park. That's what they were playing for. So they all knew what was coming, and they've done as much work as anybody. You know, the whole 35, they've all worked as hard as anybody since we've had it. And to be honest, it's irrelevant whether we won or whether we lost to Antrim. It didn't make a difference. We were going to be top. Antrim were going to be fourth. That was it. Like, that was the thing that happened. We could have been in a situation where we were going to Antrim to go and win it, or to get a point to try and get to a final, and then you'd have a different ball game going up there. But as it happened, you know, we were in the position, we earned the right to do what we wanted to do, and to be fairness to the lads, they earned the right to play Joe Mack.
I have to ask, obviously, that game as well, David Fitzgerald on the sideline for Antrim. There's a strange sort of cohort in the South East that have all had, at one point or another, been in the backroom staff. Obviously yourself, Keith Roster, Peter Queeley. You know, what do you think is something out of your time working with Davey that I suppose is consistent across all three of your managerial styles, do you think?
Look, we're all different. I think Keith's different. I think Davey's different. But, you know, Davey would have taught us all so much. And what you do, and I keep saying when I'm doing coaching courses or doing whatever I'm at, I keep telling the lads, look, I don't know everything, right? But the one thing I will say is you might say, oh, I like that. I don't like that, but I like that, and I like that. And that's what I do when I go out to see people coaching. I say, okay, I'd like that one now, I like that. If I'm watching warm-ups and stuff like that before matches, I do that. So there's some stuff that, Davey, I would definitely look at. There's other things that I wouldn't do it. Same with him, he would do his way. Keith does his way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The really, really good thing about it all is that we all really get on and we all help when we can. We've played Wexford. We were playing against Antrim, but we wouldn't get other matches. But Wexford gave us 2-3 practice matches, which was really good when we wanted them. And they're really, really great hurling guys. Do you know what I mean? And it was great on Sunday, you know, that when Davey was leaving, that, you know, he got number one. They got the win, right? That was fine. But, you know, the atmosphere up there was really good. You know, I knew all the players. It was, they're lovely, lovely guys up there. They're really great guys. And, you know, they'll go. They'll push and they'll go again, you know.
Is there a part of your background, obviously, winning with Ferns back in 2022 that relishes the idea of being the underdog team going into competitions now?
Yeah, we always do, you know. Even the start of this, Joe Mack, it was Antrim and Laois were the two favourites. It's Laois are the favourites now. You know, we always do this. It's easier, I suppose, when you're going in and you're doing that. The good thing about it for us was we were going into London and we were favourites, and we still performed. So that's the good thing. The Ferns was just an unbelievable year. The way it worked out, it was an unbelievable year. We were starting poor, you know. We were struggling as in the training and everything, and then week before we played the first round, we were struggling at half time. We were down 4 against Oilgate and won it by 4. And from there on, it just went bang. We were going game 1, game 2, week up to game 8, because we had 8 games in 9 weeks. So it was game on game on game, and we were just doing recovery and going to the sea, and we were doing everything we could that we could to get them to, because the panel, you know, every panel, you want it to be as strong as possible, so you don't want to lose anybody. So in fairness to the lads and in the physios and all that, we actually got to the final and we had everybody. So that was really good. And we were down, Gavin had done crucial, he was gone for the year. And we lost Ian Byrne at half-time, you know, which would have been a lot, you know, really good guys in our team. And Conor Scallon had got sent off in the semi. So, like, we were down 3, which were 3 players, like, that were, you know, it was big for us by half-time. So it was just an unbelievable win. It was great. They're an unbelievable club. They're a really, really unbelievable club. Everything they do it right. They're building an AstroTurf now. You know, they've got 4 pitches. They've got a state-of-the-art gym. You know, everything, underage, you know, the camogie, the ladies' football, they're all there training. You go there any night and you can't get into the car park because every pitch is gone. You know what I mean? Every pitch is gone. And it's brilliant. As a community, it's brilliant, you know. And they're just really, really great people. And it was great that we won it. It shows that they can win it. And it shows that, like, we were beaten in the semi-final by Martins. It showed Martins came to another level last year, in fairness to them. They upped it to another level. And that's what Ferns have to do this year. We have to get to another level to meet the likes of Martins and Ratnure, you know.
I couldn't help but notice you mentioned that Laois would be the favourites going into this game. Do you honestly think that, like, given the performances you've had in the Joe McDonagh Cup so far?
Well, I don't back, but the boys are telling me Paddy Power's putting Laois as favourites, so I'm only going on what they're telling
the
me.
The word of God.
Yeah, they're going on, they're telling me. I'll be honest, I don't listen. I don't listen to social media. I don't listen to anybody, because, as I kind of say, if somebody wants to say something to me, he'll say it to my face and we'll talk about it. But I don't listen to anybody that, you know, that puts up this stuff and that stuff, because, you know, number one, what have they done? You know, have they been on the sideline? You know, it's a different ball game when you're on the sideline. And I all I'm worried about is my players. And I keep telling them, my players are my backroom, And I said, after that, I don't really care. If they have a problem, I have a problem. But after that, I don't care what anybody says outside. And the players, if they have a problem, they know they can pick up the phone and they can ring me, you know, and they're well able to ring me. And we get on, we talk and we chat it out. And I have to stand in front of every one of them and say, look, you're not on the team because, and I have to tell them why, and I have to stand over that. And if I can stand over all that, and if I'm honest with them, then we're good. You know what I mean? But I have to be fair with them. And like I keep telling them, you're one guy. I have to deal with 35 guys. Plus, I have to deal with another 10 in the back room. You know what I mean? So I'll be honest. That's really all that matters to me. And that's all that I listen to. I'm just told that leash of favourites. I don't listen to favourites or not being favourites. To be honest, it's irrelevant to me. A final is 50-50. Leash are a really good team. This is their third Joe Mack in a row. You know, you don't get to a Joe Mack final 3 years in a row unless you're a really, really good team.
It's obviously always a interesting clash when Leash and Carlow come up against each other, you know, given that they're such fierce rivals. I suppose your own players themselves, do they treat it as more than just a final, given it is Leash and this decider?
No, I wouldn't say they do. I've learned about the rivalry, all right, between Leash and Carlow very quickly. But no, look, the lads, in fairness, they're really, really good. They're professional in what they do, in the sense of that they look after themselves, they train hard. Sometimes it's hard to even stop them from training because you're saying, look, you need a break here and you need to do this, and they still want to train. They're an unbelievable bunch. They're a really, really tight bunch. And, you know, sometimes when you come into a team and you're saying, okay, there's only 5-6 senior teams, you're saying, okay, it could be a problem here because they're playing each other 6 times a year, you know. And you're like, they're tight. They're a really, really tight bunch. They really get on. You know, even in sitting in the dressing room, they can sit anywhere. They can talk to anyone. They mess with anyone. You have your jokers, of course. But everybody gets on with everybody. I haven't seen once where there was, we'd had plenty of fights and we have plenty on the match and in the games, and that's what you want. You want to see them on the ground rolling around and you want to see them. But as soon as that's over, they're laughing and joking and they're back at it again. So as for the Leash, it's a final. You know, it's whoever you were playing. If you were playing a Westmead or an Antrim, or if you were playing a London, it's a final. It's 50-50.
I know you were speaking earlier and you were saying, obviously, that there's not, in comparison, there's not that many hurling teams in Carlow as, say, there would be in other counties. You know, is that the trade-off, though? You kind of get those players that are kind of constantly in and around each other, and they have that greater level of camaraderie because they know each other, both from playing against each other and playing with each other. Is that a worthwhile trade-off for you, do you think, the fact that there is so few teams but that they all know each other so well?
Yeah, it seems to work that way. You know, sometimes it doesn't work that way with the smaller clubs. As in, if you get a smaller number of clubs. I think they are so tight. I can't believe how tight they are, because, you know, you're always expecting something. Any county team you go into, there's always something between some of the clubs that takes, okay, they'll play and they'll be fine and everything, but you know there's a little bit there. But with these guys, there's nothing there. You know, these guys just joke and can be with anybody, and, you know, I haven't seen anything all year where I'm saying, okay, I need to be watching this or watching that. You know what I mean? And you'll be standing back and you'll be saying, okay, what about this guy and him? And nah, they all get on. Like, especially if you had a couple of dust-offs in the matches when we were training, you know, an AVB or whatever we do, and you'd have some dust-offs and you'd have fellas on the ground and you'd have them, wrestling and, you know, that's brilliant. And eventually, after about a minute, you say, okay, get up, lads, and get at it. Do you know what I mean? And they go at it again. That's it. And then they're joking and messing in the dressing room after, you know, because you'd be kind of watching and say, okay, is this going to continue? But what I've said to them, whatever happens inside the white lines, it stays inside the white lines. And as soon as you come outside it and you go to the dressing room, it's done. You know, it's over. Whatever happens, it's over. And in fairness, they've been brilliant at that. They've been really, really good. So they're a very, very tight team. They're even the new guys came in this year, and we've got a lot of new guys in this year. And they've gelled in. You know, they've got into it. And you need to bring a culture. You need to bring those younger guys. I think we've 6 or 7 that are under 21. And, you know, like I said, we've 3 of them again under 20 next year. You're trying to bring them into it, and you're trying to protect them as well. Because they're up. If you come out of 18 and you're up against guys 25, 26 that have 7 or 8 years of physical condition and training before you, right, they're bigger, they're stronger, you know what I mean? And they can do damage. So you're trying to protect these young fellas as well. We know that we know they have the hurlers. We know they're going to be hurling for Carlow for the next 10 years. We get all that, but they have to strengthen up. They have to get to the gym, and they have to do like the 3 months in the winter, and they have to build again, you know, another 3 months. And it might take them 2 or 3 years to actually get that. But I think by bringing those lads in this year, they get a taste of what it's like. Mm-hmm. They know what it's like. Sometimes even when you bring in young fellas and you do the physical training and you take the hits in training from physically stronger guys, it wears them down. Eventually it wears them down. And, you know, by the end of the year, they're flat. Like, you know, even though they've done nothing and they haven't got hit, you know, as in with a hurley around that, but they're just taking hits to the body time after time, and it just wears you down. And they're getting used to that now. Yeah. You know what I mean? Which is great for them, you know.
I do always think about it, and I suppose you kind of mentioned it there already, like coming in during the winter time for younger players, and you know they're kind of expected to jump up this massive gap and level. Like, it does take a lot of resilience, and it says a lot about those young players that they are able to stand up to that task, doesn't it?
Yeah, especially the younger guys, I talk to them and I'm kind of telling them, look lads, I'm trying to protect you as well. I know you're mad to play. I remember when I came into the Waterford team, I came out of minor and went straight into senior, right? And I would have played senior practice matches in that 1 year. And it took me 2 years to get any game time in the championship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that was back in the day. So, like, I'm kind of saying to these guys, you just can't rush this. Like, you can't just turn around and come from club and be saying, okay, I'm in Joe Mack now. And I'm playing against guys that have 7 and 8 years of that ahead of you. So it's just about protecting them, giving them their head, giving them to play. Because sometimes if you throw in the younger guys and they don't go as well as what they think they can go, because they're really good players in the club. You know, they're really good hurlers. We know that. That's why they're in this panel. But if you ended up, then you have to take them off. All of a sudden, that throws back their confidence. It throws back everything. So all of a sudden, they're struggling for struggle for a year or two just to get the confidence back. So I'm just trying to build them slowly, build them, and give them some game time, but I'm trying to hold them back a little bit as well, you know.
I'd be remiss to not ask, obviously, about the 3 Waterford senior hurlers that come from your own family. Stephen, Shane and Kieran, you know, like, if a father is listening to this and thinking, how do I rare 3 inter-county hurlers for Waterford, what advice would you give them?
No, I have 4 boys. I have Ryan as well, who didn't catch a hurling till he was 12. Loved the horses. And Ryan then decided at 12 I want to go hurling, and he ended up playing minor under 14 now for Waterford. But he went down another path, and he's doing veterinary now, so he loves the horses and he loves that. Now he still hurls with the club, but the 3 boys, I know when I was going training clubs, the lads at maybe 4, 3, 4, 5, 5, 6, 7, they were with me. So they were hurling with me. So they'd come with me in the car and they'd hurl all day. They'd hurl through the train. And I remember coming home a couple of times and lads say, will you come out and hurl with me when we get home? And I'm kind of going, hang on now, you've just done 2 hours of hurling. Like, why? And again, but, you know, they from early days, you know, they were doing that. And the lads were, like, they're born at the end of the year, which is October, November, December. And they would have been playing, you know, the year before. So the lads would have played, like Steve, Shane, they would have all played 4 years above their grade. Like, Steve won a minor at 14, do you know? Shane, same thing. Keir, the same thing. Like, Keir, I remember we were down in James Stevens at an under 10 match, and Keir was playing in goal for it. It was an under 10 match, and he was 8. And he was pucking out the ball left and right. And I remember Cody saying to me after, who's your goalkeeper? He was pucking the ball, and I hadn't even noticed it. He poked it left and he poked it right. And, you know, from early age, they were able to do that. And that's what I said, in school, like, they would train in the morning before school, they'd go in the bus and they'd train at 8. Then they would train at 11. Then they would have matches at lunchtime. They wouldn't have time to eat with their lunch, and they were down matches down the field, training with Mr. Pender. And I remember Stephen at early age, he was all left. So he was so fast and so good, he was scoring goals for fun, right? But he was just getting away from people. So we were just saying, okay, you need to get on your right, you know, and he wouldn't. So Mr. Pender decided 1 year when he was in 6th class that he can't score off his left. Everything had to be off his right. And they lost the final, and he scored a goal in the last minute off his left, and he disallowed the goal. And he freaked, you know. So that was their introduction to hurling. They hurled from you know, 3, 4, 5 they were hurling. And that was the big thing. I keep saying that you have to have a hurling in your hand. That's what they have to hurling. Now, they love the hurling. You know what I mean? We don't talk hurling a load. You know, people think, oh, you're talking hurling. We don't. You know, when we're together, we don't do a load of talking about hurling. When we do get into it, we get into it all right. And there'll be plenty of... there was plenty of debates and fights and everything way about that. But, you know, it's about me learning about players. And I've learned an awful lot off them from playing intercounty, because I know how they're treated. Like I said, one day, Steve got man of the match in the first game. Shaney was taken off and Keir didn't get make the 26. So, like, I have those three coming home and you're talking and you're trying to say, well, look, you need to go push harder and you need to do this and you need to do that. And, you know, you'll be kind of saying, okay, what way would I treat him? And I know, like, I've never spoken to a manager about the lads. You know, they're well able to do their own thing and they'll talk their own thing when they want to talk. And that's even from minor. Do you know what I mean? You talk to them after when the championship is over, and you might be talking to them about it overall, about what happened. But you wouldn't be talking... about, I've never spoke about the lads, you know. Mm-hmm. But you see, I'd be biased, and you know, I would have my lads starting every game. That's been honest. I would have them starting every game. I know what they're capable of. I know what they would, and that would be just me, because I know when you need them and when you want it and when your backs are to the wall, they don't go hide. And that's what I like about them.
I suppose if you look at, I know you mentioned the disappointment in not getting to see more teams playing hurling this summer, like. Waterford this year, Stephen has arguably been the best player in his position in the entire country. Like, and you know, for yourself, like, you must be immensely proud of him, but also devastated that he won't get to continue that on this year.
Yeah, I was gutted that he got injured, right? And I remember coming home. We were in actually down, and I came home, and he arrived home at the same time I arrived home, and. You know, you knew he was cross, and I said, I better face it now, like, you know. So we were talking, and he's had a baby girl 5 weeks ago. So Mila, I said, look, just chill, relax. Look at Mila. I said, enjoy her now. Mm-hmm. Because I said, enjoy her for the next 3-4 months. You know, he's on crutches, he's on a brace. Look, he doesn't have to get surgery, you know, but at the moment they're going to do another scan in a couple of weeks. But at the minute he doesn't. So I'm saying, like, enjoy that now. Just, you know, take it all in and relax. But, you know, he was having a really good year. I keep saying about Stephen. Stephen's just a dog. Shane is just a really, really good hurler, and he takes it as it is. Like, Shane would play soccer as quick as he'd play hurling. Mm-hmm. But again, he zones in. If you watch Shane going out, I'd be watching the lads coming out, and I'd know him without even looking at him. I'd know by their walk and what they're doing. But Shane, he kind of walks away out, and you're saying, okay, this guy's not ready for this game at all. Like, mm-hmm. And then straight away, he's bang, gone. You know, like, he hit 1-6 against the other day against. Was it Cork the last game?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he hit 1-6 and wing back. And, you know, that's what Shaney can do. Shaney can do anything. And Keir, middle of the field, to me, is just a workhorse. And he'll get up and down the field. He's so fit. He just got a lot of injuries. He got a lot of injuries this year. And it just killed him at the wrong time. He got him and he tried to push through him and it didn't work. And, you know, I'd feel a bit disappointed for him, you know. But at the end of the day, he's getting married in September and he'll be fine. You know, they'll all be fine. As I keep telling them, the lads, it's at the end of the day, this is a hurling game. Yeah. You know, you got lives to live. You know, the lads are going building houses now and they're at that stage in their life and that's what they need to look at.
I want to ask, I know you've spoken pretty candidly about, you know, commuting, sacrifices and obviously health concerns and everything in the last few years. You know, how has hurling, I suppose, changed your life in kind of viewing those challenges?
I presume, look, you're always hitting challenges. I'm at a stage in my life, I don't do anything unless I want to do it now. Mm-hmm. And I've learned I can say no, you know what I mean? Because it doesn't bother me. I'm finished at this stage, you know? Mm-hmm. And I love when I see players and you're saying, yeah, he's doing that in training, but then to bring it into a match situation and you're seeing them, you know. Like, I've had long talks with Paddy Boland trying to do what he's to do, and he did it against Down, and I'm going, no, that's, you know, that's it. And I said it to him straight after, don't care about you scoring the goal. That's not what I was looking for. Mm-hmm. What I was looking for was XY, and that's what he's doing now. And I love when that happens and when it comes off and you see the smile on their face. It was like you said about Ferns, when we won Ferns. Like, the smile, I just sat back. I don't drink, I don't smoke. So I just sat back and watched them. And, you know, to see the joy and the enjoyment they were getting for a week, you know, it was unbelievable. We won Leinster with Wexford. unbelievable few days, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the dressing rooms after, nothing can prepare you for the dressing rooms after a win. Now, after a loss, it's not pretty either. But I love when I see them, when I see the lads improving. The whole thing you want to be as a coach is you want to see them improving and you want to see them better hurlers. And the only way you can do that now is you've got to talk to these players and you've got to, you know, you've got to bring them with you. You know, gone are the days of when when we were young, you went and you hurled. And if they told you, run up the mountain, you run up the mountain and that's it. Now you'll ask the question, why am I running up the mountain? That's what the players will ask. And you have to answer. You have to know, why do they have to run up the mountain? And if they're with you, they're with you. And if they're not, then you're in bother.
Is there a preferred style of hurling you'd have between those two that you've just mentioned?
I'll be honest, I watched Limerick and when I see the way that they can go short, like they're not afraid to hit a ball 10 yards into your hand, dead straight in front of the goal, they'll pop a pass, and if they make a mistake, they don't care, they go again. And I love the way they move the ball. They can hit it long then, you know, when they want to hit it long, they can hit it long, but it's not aimlessly long. It's not put down in fellas' heads, it's put into space. And as a defender, you can't defend that. Yeah. You can't defend when they create space. And I love watching that, you know what I mean? I love, because like you can watch back in the time when we were hurling, and like that was all belt, bang, wallop, split head, split everything, you know, that was that hurling. But I don't think we could compete with the guys of today. They're physically so strong. When you look at them, you know, sometimes you're looking at these guys and you're going, oh my God, like look at him, look at Kyle Hayes, like look at Lee Chen, you know what I mean? You look at these guys, like, I know of my own. I remember my own Stephen. I remember him and Shane. We were taking penalties, and they were only 14, 13, 14. And they were getting to the stage where they were doing their own thing at this stage, you know. I kind of trained them in the club up to 12, 13. And then after that, Mr. Pender took, and I went back down to 8s because I don't think you should have had to do with your own boys. And I remember we were taking penalties one day in the garden, and the lad said to me, Dad, just don't move now and you won't get hurt. And I'm just standing there and they just go, some, I can't even see them, like, you know, like the two of them would be arguing over who's taking penalties. Do you know what I mean? The way they hit them. And, you know, hurling is always going to be changing. Like, this year it's about moving. You've got to be able to go short, you have to be able to go long. You have to be at the right time. But you know what? You have to coach them guys to do it. And they have to know when to do it themselves, because you can't do anything on the line now. You know, with the refereeing now, you can't actually open your mouth. Because if you do, it's probably going to be a 21 on the other side. So technically, you're trying to coach the lads to be able to know, okay, this is when you change it, right? You might be able to shout something in, but you know, in these games, they won't hear you. Like, my voice is gone by halftime. You know, every game, my voice will be gone at halftime. And you're kind of saying, okay, do they even hear you? But if you're, they could be only 15 yards away from you in Quebec, they will not hear you. You know what I mean? So you have to be able to know that, lads, you have to know when to change this, when to move this, and when or about. But that's the satisfaction you get from the coaching and managing. It's just that when you see players coming, you see them that they're enjoying the training, like they've got to come to enjoy training because they're working hard. You know, some nights you get to training and some nights I get to training and you're going, oh, I don't want to be here now, you know. And this hasn't happened in Carlow. Every night I've come to Carlow, I'm looking forward. You've got a Jack Tracy bouncing in off you, like, you know, and you know this guy is just laughing before he starts. You know, it's coming at you, Chris, like, you know, these guys, Fiacrat, these guys are all witty guys, like, you know, Jamie Wall, like, these are the jokers. These guys, like, you have to be ready with these guys because they just nail you left, right and center every chance they get. And that's what's good. And then when we go on the pitch, it's serious, you know.
I suppose, finally, to kind of tie it all back to that Carlow question, you know, in the next 5 years, where do you see Carlow hurling going?
I would love that Carlow hurling will go and constantly compete in the Leinster Championship. And, you know, number one, you've got to get to where the Offaly's are now, where they're in the three. So that's your first step, to get to that. And then when you get to that, you've got to be able to say, okay, we've got to be competing to try and get a Leinster title. And then you've got to go and say, okay, let's go from there now and see, can we get to an All-Ireland final? You know, that's where they have to go to. They have the hurlers, but you know, it's a lot of hard work, because you've got to get down to the minors and the 20s, and you've got to bring all them. Like, just because you have a good minor team doesn't say, well, if we won the minor, but how many will of that will come through onto the senior, and how long will it take? you know, just because you've come out of 17, it could take you 5 years to get onto the senior constantly, you know, be playing regularly on it. So, like, I think there was somebody asked me, I think in the last 7-8 years, how many players in all the counties in Munster have actually regularly came from winning from a minor team to get onto a winning All-Ireland team? And the answer is 3. So that tells you how hard it is to get them to come up to that level. And that's what Carlo needs to do. A lot of work. Like, they're doing savage work in Fenna. They're building the dressing rooms now in a new gym out there. You know, everything. The pitches are great. They're putting in 2 more new pitches. One a full Astra. You know, a 5G Astra. So, like, they're doing the work. Everything is there. But you've got to keep the players coming through as well, you know.
Absolutely. Well, Pat Bennett, this has been a thoroughly enjoyable conversation. We've touched on everything, but best of luck next weekend. I know there'll be a load of people from Carlow going up to Croke Park to support the lads, and look, there'll be a load of eyes on you now as well, so best of luck in that final against Laois.
Thanks a million. I would just love that the supporters will come and support the lads. You know, they're a really, really great bunch of lads, and it'd be great to see a big crowd from Carlow up there.